How's it going, everyone? Thank you for joining us. This is another episode of the Old Friends Catch Up. I'm one of your hosts, Walker Ryan, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm a professional skateboarder, and you know, for as long as I've been skating, been pro for 10 years, skating for most of my life, you get hurt. And in this podcast, we like to interview pros who've been through some injuries, are dealing with some injuries, and we talk through things not only with me, but with Kyle Brown, who's a physical therapist, longtime friend of mine, and an amazing skateboarder himself. So we thought we'd mix things up with this episode and talk about one of my recent problems, which was a very devastating low back muscle strain. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to let you, the listener, hear kind of how Kyle works in his practice and in diagnosing me with a low back strain, how he then prescribed me a program to do at home to come back from it. And that program we offer on our Patreon account at Old Friends Fitness, patreon.com/oldfriendsfitness. And yeah, we just thought it'd be nice to complement it with just sort of a discussion of how that process went from his perspective and mine in just dealing with it. So it's a shorter episode, a little different than we usually do, but I think, you know, could be interesting for some people out there. So yeah, once again, you know, thank you to everyone who is supporting us on Patreon. We offer a bunch of videos. Now we have 10, we're 10 months deep, and there's everything from how to warm up properly to how to come back from very specific injuries and conditions like Achilles tendinopathy, patellofemoral pain, hamstring strain. What else do we have? Ankle sprains. There's a bunch of stuff on there. And this month it's low back, which is a very complicated one and one that I think, you know, a lot of skaters deal with. So thank you again for listening and supporting us in any way that you have. It's been a lot of fun, and we have a lot more in store. So yeah, hope you enjoy this episode.
Walker, dude, what's going on? How's that back feeling?
Kyle, I think this is the first time I can really credit you with like saving my life, dude. My back pain's gone.
it's I think literally the first time you've taken any sort of medical advice I've given you. So I'm glad it worked out.
No, it was good. We'll go into it. I got a ton of questions, and I'm sure you do for me too, just as you know, a necessary follow-up. But I mean, let's just start with talking about low back injuries, because they're terrifying as a skateboarder or just as a human being, dude. There's so much mystery in the back. Mm-hmm. So when I heard it last year, you know, I was like, all right, I've done this before. I'm sure it'll just bounce back. It's just a little tweak. And that was not the case. This one was like really enduring, you know, mm-hmm. As we talked about in the 101, you know, I was like I couldn't really do anything for weeks. It was intense. Mm-hmm. So when it came to diagnosing me, what clues did you use to figure out that mine was just a muscle strain and not something more serious? Because I, of course, was thinking like, oh no, it's like discs or, you know, surgery is going to happen. You know, you start going down that spiral.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Most of the clues I got came from just listening to you tell your story. I got a lot of good information from that. You are a good storyteller, Walker.
A little too wordy sometimes, but
you know. Well, no, but it was good. So I just kind of listened to your story and gathered clues from that. So from you just telling me what happened, as far as like, you know, that whole day, you gave me clues on kind of, so I was listening to clues about what happened leading up to the injury. So what you were doing that entire day leading up to the injury, and then what happened during the injury. You explained that you had skated with your heavy backpack, you know, all throughout the city, and then after that you started doing this really kind of twisty trick that, you know, could potentially put a lot of strain on the back.
Should I give a quick, for the people who might not have caught the 101, should I give a quick play-by-play? I'll be brief.
Sure.
I was back in New York. I hadn't really been skating for a couple months because quarantine had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Filled up a heavy backpack on top of, you know, bringing an extra board attached. Skated like something like 50 blocks from Lower Manhattan to like Midtown. And didn't really warm up. Didn't do too many dynamic stretches. Just started skating, figuring that like push across town was my warm up. And tried a front side nose slide, 270 shove, and just my back froze. And I barely got home. It was like I kept thinking like I was going to need to just call an Uber, but it was still quarantine. I didn't want to get in an Uber. It was just, yeah, for the next few days, I was like completely out.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
That's the background.
Right. Yeah. That's the quick synopsis. But yeah, all that information was good in helping me kind of lead me towards like the muscle strain diagnosis, especially when you told me what you did when it hurt. And then as you were describing what you did, you pointed exactly to where it hurt, and that helped. So you pointed to basically the low back musculature, and that was helpful. If you had pointed to the low back and then you also pointed, you know, down the legs, like if your pain was like going down the legs into the feet, then, you know, I might be thinking something more nerve related. But, you know, most of your pain was localized in the back, and that all those things kind of help clue me in. And then, I don't know if you remember this, you showed me the motions that hurt during our consultation. So you're like, yeah, it hurts when, you know, as I'm bending forward to, you know, to try to tie my shoes or to try to lift something, that like that middle range on the way down really, really hurts. And that kind of helped clue me in as well. So honestly, I got a lot of good information from you just telling me your story. And I think that's important on a broader scale to keep in mind when you're going to the doctor, going to the physical therapist. Make sure your PT or your healthcare professional really listens to your story, because you get a lot of good information. And that, honestly, that's a skill that you have to work on. You know, I think a lot of healthcare providers don't work on that skill, but I think it's one of the most important things in healthcare, really listening to your patients, because you get a lot of good information. So yeah, that's kind of how I veered towards it being a muscle strain.
And so I like to say luckily it was a muscle strain, even though I was out for like basically like a month and a half, mm-hmm. almost 2 months of not really feeling like I was fully strong or confident with my back. Mm-hmm. But what are some other types of common low back injuries, stuff that it might have been?
The main three categories, and these are pretty broad, but the main three categories when we're talking about low back injuries are muscle-related low back injuries, joint-related low back injuries, and nerve-related low back injuries. So in general, when I'm trying to figure out what's going on, I'm thinking in those three categories. And, you know, one of the main things I try to rule out at the beginning is a nerve-related injury. And if somebody has a nerve-related low back injury, a lot of times that comes from irritation of the discs or some of the other structures around the low back, and that sends pain down the leg. It can also send numbness or tingling down the leg, into the foot, into the calf. And sometimes if it's a severe nerve-related low back injury, you can lose strength and function in the feet and some of the other musculature in the leg. So I'm trying to rule that out first. And once I rule that out, then I'm trying to differentiate between muscle and joint. And a lot of times the muscle and the joint kind of go hand in hand as far as both become a little irritated during a low back strain.
Cool.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, we won't go into it in detail here, but it sounds like nerve damage is much more complicated of a mm-hmm. treatment/rehab, any whatever it might be.
Absolutely. Whenever you're dealing with a nerve-related low back situation, it takes longer to heal. And, you know, there are other various complications as far as not just pain. Sometimes you lose muscle function and strength and stuff like that. So that's the nerve-related low back situations bring on different layers of complications as far as treatment. So you were not in that category, which is good.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, I watched my dad go through that, actually. He, like, I want to say one of his calf muscles just completely deteriorated went out. There was some relation to his his leg that was really crazy to watch. But back to the just the muscle strain, because I and the program you gave me, I really liked this program. I mean, it was awesome because I felt myself make significant improvements pretty quickly with the more I could do. And it was a lot of stuff. I mean, the stretching ones just felt nice. Super easy to do just on the bedroom floor. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was just accessible, easy. All I really needed was a mat and some bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff like I still do every now and then just because it feels good. Like they just feel like nice stretches. But how did you design it? Like what's behind the program?
Yeah, so first off, I had to make a decision on what you actually needed to come back from this low back injury. And I, you know, kind of concluded that you needed, you know, a little bit of stretching, but also some core, hip, and back strengthening to go along with that. So that's the first decision I had to make, you know, what you need. And then from there, I had to think about, you know, all right, Walker needs a little bit of stretching and some strengthening. How intense do I make these exercises? And, you know, when you're talking about strengthening, sometimes you know, the exercise needs to be pretty intense to build strength. But, you know, there are varying levels of strengthening that, you know, you can expose your patients to. And it's just a matter of, you know, what they can tolerate. So you start asking the question, you know, all right, Walker has this low back strain. It happened this long ago. What can he handle? Am I going to have him exercise into a little bit of pain, or do I want to avoid pain for now? So I had to think about that as well. And in this case, I kind of wanted you, since it was a fairly fresh injury and you were still, you know, having a tough time with it, I wanted to give you exercises that wouldn't cause pain. So that was another sort of thought process that I had to go through.
And so, like, what is the deal with exercising into pain with this kind of an injury?
That's a good question. And it can be a tricky question. You know, most of the time when I'm dealing with this type of low back situation, I try to find ways to exercise around the pain. So getting strength, getting flexibility without working into pain. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, I will have my low back patients with a muscle strain go into some pain. And that's usually if there is a situation where a patient of mine has had this pain for a really long time. And they're kind of babying it because they're scared to do anything. Sometimes to break that cycle, you have to have your patient exercise into a little bit of pain and realize that that's safe and not a dangerous thing to do as long as you do it in a disciplined, kind of orderly fashion. So I don't do that a ton, but you know, every once in a while I have to say like, hey, Fred, you're okay to do stuff. The spine isn't this really fragile thing that you need to completely protect by not doing anything. You need to move it, you need to exercise it. And since haven't done anything for a long time because you're nervous about, you know, moving, at first you might need to exercise into a little bit of pain, and that's okay. So you weren't in that category, but sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll have to have that conversation with patients when coming back from something like this. Because, you know, like you said, for some people, this is a scary thing, hurting their low back, you know?
And what about what other factors did you consider when you're designing my at-home program?
Yeah. So sorry for that little side tangent. The other factors that I was thinking about when deciding which exercises to give you were the environment that you would have to do these in. And in your case, it was the thick of quarantine, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
So you were kind of either skating or stuck in your apartment. So I had to keep that in mind. And then the other thing, you know, you take into account is who the person is that you're giving this to. So knowing your patient and, you know, what their history is. And in your case, Walker, you're a great skateboarder. I'll give you that.
Aw, you're gonna just flatter me like that over here, make me blush?
You're a great, talented skateboarder, one of the best I've ever seen. But you, let's face it, dude, you've never worked out. I doubt you've ever been to a gym in your life. So, you know.
True.
Basically, I didn't want to give you some overly complicated exercise that, you know, required a lot of equipment and so on and so forth. So for you, I wanted to make it simple and effective. You know, that was kind of my angle with your program.
Which I appreciate.
I was a little nervous about giving you the opposite arm, opposite leg exercise. I didn't know if you were able to handle it, but you did. You did a good job.
Wait, why that one?
Because, dude.
That one was fun. The bird dog?
The bird dog, yeah.
I like the bird dog.
A lot of people screw that one up, you know, but you did good. You could handle it.
Nice. All right. I'm proud. I'm a proud bird dogger.
You should be.
Yeah, well, it was good. I mean, so, and another question I have, like, when it comes to, besides teaching the exercises themselves, what else do you talk about when you give a home program? Because that's what you've been doing this whole, or I imagine, like, at least last year, most of it mm-hmm. was telehealth and like, making sure people are doing it at home.
Yeah.
Only, like, without even doing it in person once. Like, mm-hmm. what do you have to think about there?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, coming up with the exercise program and teaching the exercise program is just kind of the first step. I also usually follow that up with a discussion about other stuff as well. So I usually talk about what you should feel when you're doing the exercises, you know, where you should feel it, how intense it should feel, stuff like that. And then I'll have a discussion about how long it's going to take before these exercises start having an effect on how the back feels. And then also I try to have a discussion about how long the low back injury or whatever injury I'm talking about, how long that's going to take to heal in general. And then a lot of times I'll have to have discussions on, as you're doing these exercises, sometimes you have little flare-ups along the way, and you know that's to be expected, and that's okay. Keep going, keep pushing through. It doesn't mean you stop. You can keep doing the exercises. So I'll have conversations about that. And then, of course, most people have the question, like, all right, I'm going through this injury. You've given me these home exercises to do. Do I stop skating? Do I have to rest from skating, or can I skate as I'm rehabbing through this injury? And in your case, if I remember correctly, I think I told you to do these exercises for a month or two and then take a break from skating and let the exercises sort of do what they're supposed to do before you get back on the board. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the other conversations I try to have in addition to just giving the exercises. And I think paying attention to those extra details usually helps. Did it help with you? I think we talked about all that stuff.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I will say there were a few things that I was like, I mean, you get used to doing something on your own. Mm-hmm. And I kept worrying that I was developing bad habits or lazy habits, maybe not doing them totally correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with this one, after the first round, I had Whitney watch me because I was most aware of like the things I shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the month, I would make sure she was watching sometimes to be like, oh, your back's kind of dipping like too much, or you're not like, really straight. So that was helpful, but it's hard to be aware of those things right mm-hmm. away.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine it took some practice. Well, let me flip this around on you, Walker. How do these exercises, if you can remember back, how do these exercises feel when you first started to do them while you were still, you know, kind of in some pain and recovering from your back injury? Do you remember?
Yeah. I mean, they were, I wouldn't describe them as painful
mm-hmm.
because they actually felt kind of good because they were just targeting that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I felt that immediately, like, whoa, that's where it's hurting.
Okay.
But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't aggravating it. It just felt like kind of soothing, at least like with the first mainly stretching ones, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I was in a spot where I could barely like pick myself up out of bed. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I really had to like tilt, use my arms. Like I just had no strength. So it was always nice doing those things.
So they were helpful right off the back. Did any of them make you nervous doing them at first, especially the strengthening stuff? Like when I told you that this is what you were going to be doing, were you like, whoa, really? Anything like that? Do you remember?
Kind of. I mean, just because it was like with the clamshells where I'm, you know, essentially doing like a side plank and keeping my legs open, like that wasn't right off the bat. You eased me into that one.
Oh, okay.
But you know, initially I remember just feeling like, I don't know, like this is like the thing that I can't really do on my own, which is like push myself up. And it would often be getting into the positions that were kind of like the most nerve-wracking. But I don't know, it just felt like I was steadily seeing improvements and I appreciated that. So that was kind of the best part. It was like, okay, I can do this one for longer.
Oh, cool.
Like the bird dog hold, or, you know, like as days would progress, it was just feeling better.
Better and better. And how long, do you remember how long it took before the, before you started noticing a difference in how your back felt after starting this program?
How long did I do it before I just stopped? Because I'm like, oh, I don't need to anymore.
No, like how, well, that, but also like how long before?
I feel like that's the biggest indication, you know?
Sometimes.
No, I can't remember exactly, because now it was almost like a year ago, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like probably 3 weeks,
yeah,
you know, doing it every day.
Yeah. And that's
and that was the thing that was just with this one that I felt good having you there to tell me like, dude, it's normal. Like sometimes it takes this long. Like sometimes it is a month before you're just like back. Cause I was also like hilarious to look at. Like I couldn't stand up straight. So I'd be walking around like a hobbled gimp, like looking crazy, yeah, you know? So my wife, and by that point we were staying at her mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law would just be like, what is going on with you? And I'm not going to lie, it was a little convenient because I was going to help her with all her boats. She has a boat rental business.
Oh, you got out of that, huh?
And I was going to be like flipping boats and cleaning boats and doing all this boat boy work,
mm-hmm,
which is pretty brutal. And I just physically like couldn't do anything. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise. Luckily, she was all right. She ended up hiring some guys who were better at it than I would have been anyway. So.
Yeah.
But it was... Yeah, I mean, it was bad, and it just took a long time.
But you said a few weeks before the exercises started kind of kicking in, and you noticed a difference. Yeah, that's something that I have to reiterate with not just you, but, you know, a lot of my patients. Like, hey, stick with it. It'll take a little while for these to kick in, but be patient. It'll come. Do you remember which out of the exercises that I gave you, was there one or two that were extra helpful or the most beneficial? Do you remember?
I can't say for sure, but I feel like by the time I was doing the clamshells, it felt like I was just getting back.
Cool.
And you know, it took a couple weeks before you like allowed me to move on to that one.
Mm-hmm.
But by then I was like, oh shit, like I'm feeling better and this feels good and it feels like it's strengthening. And it was just like, I don't know, it was motivating to do those.
Cool. So kind of just the fact that you could do it kind of gave you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And how was it? Do you remember how it was, like, kind of first getting back on your board, coming back from this? Were you a little nervous to get back out there and skate? Did you ease into it? Did you go straight back to your nose slide big spin out that caused the injury in the first place?
I've still never tried a nose slide big spin. luckily, I was on Martha's Vineyard, and we had that skate park. And so the skate park is great for – that one in particular is great for – showing up and cruising, mm-hmm, and not needing to ollie or do anything. So I was definitely just doing that in a very like slow easing back into it kind of way.
Nice. That park is number one. That park's amazing. Yeah. I love that park. But yeah, it seems like it'd be a good park to kind of just cruise around and get your bearings back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last question I would ask is, do you have any advice to to other skaters out there going through the same thing that you did?
I mean, just be patient, you know, if it's that low back strain, just be patient and diligent with these exercises and little strengthening workouts. And I don't know. I mean, my advice would be don't get one of these. And like, I really think it was my fault for like not properly, because the one that I do now all the time, I'm hyper aware of is the, it's not the open book. If I can remember, I do the open book before I leave for skating. But if I get to a spot, it's the twisty one where I'm like, we call them the board rotations, you know, where you just like twist your back like back and forth a bunch of times. Cause I just think I didn't do that one. And that was probably what got me.
So be patient.
Can't say for sure. But yeah, be patient and just don't be reckless when you're 30 and up.
So if you get it, be patient and don't get it by warming the fuck up. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
All right, cool. Well, yeah. I mean, I know this is kind of a different format than some of our other issues, but I mean, I think people are going to learn a lot just by hearing your story and your process and how, you know, kind of the ups and downs of you coming back from this.
Yeah. And just, it's a scary thing the back. And I'm lucky that I didn't have a super labor intensive job I did need to do like right away, because mm-hmm. I mean, I was out. And it's hard. I don't know. I feel like the last question I'd ask you is just from a preventative perspective, like, what else should skaters do to avoid this? Because I'm not the one, I'm not the expert saying, like, who knows if that, if my little, you know, warming up advice is even 100% accurate. Like, what else would, what else should one do to just avoid getting these kind of injuries?
I mean, I think you were spot on. Like, just make sure you, you do your warm up before you're going to skate, especially if you're going to do a trick that is extra, adds extra stress to the spine. Just do a good warm up. And also, like we've talked about with other situations, keep your back and your core nice and strong. So that, that 2 days per week of strength training, just general strength training, that will help as well. So that's, those are probably the couple of keys that people can keep in mind when trying to avoid their low back strain.
And off top, two super easy at home, two or three at home things you can do. I mean, put, do push-ups and planks fall into that category with things that aren't so specific?
Do some sort of plank, do some sort of squat. And if you really want to hone in on the back, do some sort of deadlift where you're strengthening the back itself.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's perfect.
Cool, man. I'm psyched for people to hear this, and hopefully they learn a thing or two.
Hopefully it helps some people.
Walker, I'm glad you're back skating.
Once again, thank you. You know, I think I truly believe you're a physical therapist now. You know,
finally, it's about time.
Hell yeah! All right, well, have a good day golfing with John Lupfer, and
I absolutely
we'll
will
touch and, back soon.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Later.
All right. Thank you, everybody. If you want to support us, subscribe on patreon.com. It's very chill. $5 a month gets you access to all the video and podcast content we've created so far. You can also like and subscribe on, you know, various podcast platforms. And, you know, we sell a bunch of fitness equipment, too. So oldfriendsandco.com to get all that. Thanks again, everybody. Special shout out and thank you to Bobby Renz for the music.